Hello again, this is World Pastor Tony Alamo. This is program number 472. If you'd like to have a copy of it, Sharon will show you how at the end of the program. Please specify whether you want an audio tape or a CD. They're both free, including the postage and handling. We have some singing tonight, really good singing, and we've got a powerful message from the Lord, and letters, and whatever the Lord brings forth in this message. So stay tuned and receive power from God. But right now, let's go to the throne of the Lord to ask Him to anoint this program. Father, anoint Your servant and anoint everything that's done on this program. You said that we must be in the Spirit, the law of the Spirit of life. Jesus, You are the law that lives in us. You are the light of the world. And, of course, You want us to be governed by Your law, which is the highest law there is in the entire universe. We must live according to the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Right now, everybody in the world, without those, with the exception of those of us that are walking according to the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, are walking according to the law of sin and death, because the soul that sins shall die. I pray, Lord, that You'll give the exact message, or a message clear enough for people to understand that they cannot sin if they expect to be a member of the body of Christ. The body of Christ does not sin, therefore it is perfect. It is living according to the law of the Spirit, the life-giving Spirit of Christ that we must be in order to be a member of the body of Christ. He is our head, and we are His body that He lives in. Lord, rebuke Satan, every attempt of Satan to destroy Your work, Your children. Destroy him everywhere in the world. For every person, Lord, that is living in the according to the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. For You, Jesus, are our law, that we are not to break the moral law, and we're not to even hate, because hate is murder, and no murderer shall enter the kingdom of heaven. And you are pouring out Your wrath on the land, because You are a God of vengeance to those that hear not or hearken not to Your voice. Lord, give everyone a hearing ear tonight. And Lord, let Satan be rebuked, and let the church be strengthened and souls saved in Jesus' name. And everyone says amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Now, here's Jack Holcomb, one of my very favorite gospel singers. He sings right from his spirit. Faith unlocks the door.
When you speak to the man.
many times have you prayed for something big or small? How long did you have to wait? Or did the answer ever come at all? Words are mere expressions, expressions of thought and nothing more. Believing is what really counts. Faith unlocks the door. Have faith when you speak to the Master. That's all He asks you for. Yes,
praise the Lord. You know, Jesus was a man just like you and I. He was mankind. And those of us that have the Spirit of the Lord in us, see, He had the same Spirit in Him. He was the first begotten of by the Spirit, of the Spirit. The first human being that had the Spirit of God in him. And He had to be patient. He had to keep the commandments patiently in order for him to be able to endure all the different things that he experienced. And he stated that all those of us that are born again of the Spirit would suffer the same things he did. He said if they persecuted the Master, he says they'll persecute you as well. So he patiently endured. What does that mean? That means that he knew in order for him to not only get back into heaven where the Spirit in him, but for him to be able to bring people that were as sincere as he is to get into the kingdom of heaven. Because there's no body going to enter, no spirit going to enter the kingdom of heaven with any sin on their soul. So he endured and patiently. And the Bible says that tribulations brings forth patience. So when you're going through tribulations, you know, you just need to, as Jack Holcomb says, pray. Prayer is the key to get into the kingdom, but faith unlocks the door. But really, the kingdom of heaven is in us. You know, we don't have to go that far. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. And so we don't get into the kingdom of heaven. Well, we die only when we die. We're in the kingdom of heaven right now. We're supposed to be sitting with Christ in heavenly places. So he patiently endured. He never sinned. And that's what all of us must do if we're going to be His body. His body cannot have, if it's the body of Christ, it can't have any sin in it because Christ is sinless. And you're not going there if you've got sin on your soul. Now, you could hide it from people, your sin. You could hide it from me because I don't have to know. I just know that God's going to sort everything out on the last day. Everyone that's got sin on their soul is going to be cast into the lake of fire. So if we're going to be his body, we must be patient. We have to do what he did if we're going to be his body. Because how can he have a body to move him if the body is sinning? Because he's not a sinful person. He is a human that had the Spirit of God in him. So a lot of people say, well, he had the Spirit of God in him. That's why he was able to keep all the commandments. Well, if you're born again of the Spirit, you shouldn't fall away from the Lord because you have the Spirit of God in you as well, just like he did. There's seven spirits of the Lord, but when the Lord is in you, all the seven spirits of God are in you as well. I have living in you the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And therefore, the first chapter of Romans states that you're without excuse and you're worthy to be put to death if you have said, well, the Lord's body, being part of the Lord's body, is no big deal. So you sin against the Lord's body, but primarily that isn't going to hurt the Lord. You're the one that's going to be hurt. But people are so unpatient. So when they feel that there's sin that they want to partake in, they sin. They commit fornication and adultery, and the Bible states that those that do those sort of things are sinning against their own soul. They kill their own soul. It's not the Lord that kills you or sends your soul to hell. You do that yourself because you have a will in your soul that you can decide to whether, and that's a pivotal point in your life as to whether you want to go to heaven or you want to go to hell. And so you choose what you want to do. So you can live a life of going to movies and just talking about all sort of different worldly things, or you could choose to listen to the Word of God without ceasing. And what I do is occasionally I'll look at different things that are going on in the world, like documentaries and things like that, because I look at it because I'm alive and I have a meter. The Lord put the signs that would happen just before the end of time. If I wouldn't see what's going on around me, I wouldn't be able to preach how close we are to the end time. And I can tell you that we're close, very close, all right? And I'm a person that is renowned for telling the truth. Mm-hmm. I'm renowned for knowing the Spirit. So he patiently endured, Jesus did. And he's the head, and the body has to patiently endure, too. Prayer is the key to heaven, but faith unlocks the door when you're in problems. You know that you patiently must endure if you want to enter the kingdom of heaven, if you want to be a member of his body. You have to just say, well, this is what I have to do if I'm going to be his body, if I'm going to be his body, the Lord's body. Amen?
Amen.
So the tribulation and the kingdom and forever and ever. Okay, so the kingdom, if the kingdom of heaven is in you, then the tribulation is not going to be as lovely to you as the kingdom that's in you. So we have to say, well, are we going to sink because we have tribulation, or are we going to realize that the kingdom of heaven is in us and we're the body of Christ and we're going to go on no matter what, because we're just going to be here for a short period of time and then we're going to stand before the Lord. And then what? He's going to judge us for what we've done in these earthly bodies that we're living in. And he knows that the Spirit of God that's in us is more powerful than temptation, because the Spirit of God mortifies the lusts of the body. But people that don't believe that they're the body of Christ, they just continue to sin. They continue to go on sinning, thinking that God will excuse us because they put themselves in some kind of a mental stupor. That makes that, and they make themselves believe that God will not punish them because they are ignorant. Well, Eve was ignorant as well, and she was kicked out of the God withdrew his spirit from her, and he put them outside, Adam and Eve, outside of the Garden of Eden, and they were no spirit, no life in them any longer. But God, and they were suffering so bad, they were fasting and praying for longer than anybody could, where they were almost dead. And God told them that he's going to come to the world in the latter days, which was about 2,000 years ago, he's going to come to the world as a man, and that he would die on the cross for them to give them a second chance, because they knew they were going to hell, and it was like something they couldn't shake. It just stuck to them like it was like a plague, like the botch. And the Lord says that he shall smite thee in the knees. Now, it's not Mother Nature doing it. This is Deuteronomy 28:35. He says, and this is verse 35, the Lord shall smite thee in the knees and in the legs with a sore botch that cannot be healed from the sole of your feet unto the top of thy head. So, when you commit sin, that is a swelling in your spirit. The spirit withdraws from you because the Lord will not live in a person that is a sinner. He came to die on the cross to save sinners so that they can convert them to be sons of God. And if you're a son of God, you're not a sinner any longer. If you're the body of Christ, you're certainly not a sinner. Amen?
Amen.
And you certainly are perfect, because to God, the Bible says that the body of Christ is his bride. And that's why so many people take marriage, they take it lightly. They don't take it seriously. And so therefore, women are always lusting at other guys, and they start laughing at their jokes and smiling at them, and because they are lustful. They're not the body of Christ. A godly woman that it talks about in the book of Proverbs, the last chapter, tells that a virtuous woman keeps herself holy. She stays at home and takes care of her children and her husband. And she works with her hands and keeps her mind busy praising and thanking the Lord. Not like the people today. People have made themselves into tramps, vile human beings that, of course, the Lord will not let into the kingdom of heaven unless they repent. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him. Well, you don't believe that he's going to come? You'll see him, all right, coming in clouds. All the phonies that say they're Christ, they are just not the Lord. Because if you don't see them, every person in the world at the same time sees them coming in clouds, well, it's not the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Amen? And they also which pierced him, they shall see him, and also those which pierced him. People pierce the Lord by sinning. But worse, on top of that, you're piercing yourself, because he's got it made. He's in heaven, and he's not going to die any longer, but you're going to die and go to hell if you don't repent. And all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. Revelations, the first chapter, verse 47. So John doesn't just say that he is our companion in tribulation. This is the Apostle John that wrote Gospel of John, and 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, and also the book of Revelations. He's not only our companion in tribulation, not the good life like some of these ministers say that, but he in trials and tribulations. John doesn't say that I am your companion in luxury, does he?
No,
but in trials and tribulations. And so we must hang on to the end. We must not throw the towel in, because the time of his coming is short. So in trials and tribulations, but He's also our companion in the kingdom. In the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of God is in us. And not only in the kingdom, but in patience. We must patiently flee from the very appearance of evil. Flee from evil, and why? Because that's if we want. Only if we want to be Christ's body. You get it?
Amen.
Okay. Now we're in the kingdom right now, because if the kingdom of heaven is within you, then you're in the kingdom of heaven. And so you must conduct yourself as people in the kingdom of heaven do. My will be done on earth as it is in heaven, he said. And his will is certainly being done in heaven. When Satan sinned, he threw him out. That was his will. And if you sin, he'll throw you out as well. The Lord will smite you if you sin in the knees. You won't be able to walk a Christian life. And in your legs, you won't be able to walk a Christian life. And people will see these things that are happening to you and know that you're not a Christian. And you'll have like a sore botch that cannot be healed from the sole of your foot unto the top of your head. Okay, what is a botch?
A swelling on the skin as a boil, a sore.
Okay. This is just... Now, the Lord says that he'll send that to you. Deuteronomy 28:59-61 says that then the Lord will make thy plagues wonderful. And now, the plagues that are happening to the earth are coming from the Lord. There isn't a mother in the universe or on earth that's making these plagues. Now, God is the God of nature, so he says, and the Lord will make thy plagues, your plagues, wonderful, wonderful, and plagues of your children. He'll plague your children. Why? Because you give a deaf ear to the Lord. That's why. Even great plagues, and this is the Lord saying he's going to send great plagues upon the earth. And of long continuance, they're going to last for a long time. And sore sickness, and of long continuance, it's going to last. You know, people have had cancer for years, leukemia, and they're suffering. Moreover, he will bring upon you all the diseases of Egypt, which you were afraid of. And they shall cleave unto thee. They'll cleave unto you. I mean, they'll be one with you, these diseases. When you cleave unto your wife, that means you become one. But the Lord will make these diseases and these plagues cleave unto you so that you and those diseases are one. You won't be able to shake them. I know people that have stomach problems and bone problems. And cancer problems, and all manner of sicknesses and diseases, and every sickness and every plague which is not, even those that are not written in the book of this law, then will the Lord bring upon you, that all these things the Lord will bring upon you until you are destroyed. And the which the Lord thy God giveth thee for an inheritance, and he'll shed this your blood in this land that the Lord has given you as an inheritance. And so blood be upon thee, all the different blood that you've shed, all you people in this world that are shedding blood, aborting children, sending people to prison, beating them to death, shooting them, creating wars. The blood that you shed at Waco, this land is cursed because of that. And over at the federal building, you say, well, I thought you were against the feds. I'm not against the feds. I'm against the things that they're doing, okay?
Mm-hmm.
The Lord wants you to be saved, and I do too. That's why I'm preaching the gospel to you. You don't have a better friend than Jesus or myself. He's piping through me to you. But if any man hate his neighbor and lie in wait for him and rise up against him and smite him mortally, and that he die, and flees into a city where they think they're going to be free from prosecution, then the elders of that city must surrender him. They must fetch him in that city and deliver him into the hand of the Avenger of Blood. And the Avenger of Blood is supposed to really be the family. The family's not going to say, well, I forgive him. Because if you forgive him, first of all, you don't have the right to forgive that kind of sin. Amen. So if you did, well, then still the land is cursed, because the avengement that the Lord prescribes to take the curse off the land, and the curse that God wants to put down on you if you don't do what he says, kill him. Now, the Bible doesn't say thou shalt not kill. It says thou shalt not murder, because if you murder, then you must be killed. And people say, well, that won't solve anything. A life, yes, it will. The land will not be cursed anymore. All right?
Amen.
That's what the Lord says. You say, well, that was a long time ago. You're going to find out that the things that the Lord said are the same right up to this very day, and he's going to judge you by those things. He's not wishy-washy like man is. No, what they want to do is murder any person that's preaching the gospel. John Peeler stated that Clinton, former President Clinton, hired him, John Peeler, a former FBI agent, to kill me, murder me, assassinate me. Well, that is it. And he claimed to be a Baptist. Well, that isn't what you're supposed to do if you're a Christian, are you? What wrong have I ever done to Clinton?
Nothing.
I haven't even done anything wrong to him at all. And then he's such a catty person, like a woman. And I can't think of anything more disgraceful to call him than a woman or a devil right out of hell. That's it. He's like, everybody calls his wife Billary Clinton, and now he's running her for president and saying, okay, now honey, that's all right, you're going to do this now and do what I do now, is to tell everybody that every religion can be cursed. Now you can kill every religion, because you have to do that for the fatherland over in Rome, Italy. And I just wouldn't vote for somebody like that, would you?
No.
Well, the people that do, then you're helping shed innocent blood. And, of course, we're supposed to avenge that blood. But in the New Testament, the Lord says, I will repay them. And he's doing that right now. Did you ever notice all the plagues that are hitting the earth now? There's no such thing as Mother Nature. This is the reprobate news media telling you that garbage that you're swallowing. And then the Bible says that your eye shall not pity him when you send him to his death. Because if you don't want to go to hell, if you want to be the body of Christ, you better do what he says. That means put him to death. Don't pity him. Well, he's nuts, you know. I mean, he was crazy. The Bible says that he doesn't care if you're crazy or not. I guarantee you, if enough people get killed for murdering people, that they will not be crazy very long. Amen?
Amen.
There won't be all this murdering and killing and going crazy in the world. So you're not supposed to pity somebody that murdered somebody, but thou shalt put away the guilt of innocent blood from Israel and from the United States of America and from every land. Amen?
Amen.
That it may go well with you, with God. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, now 2 Kings chapter 24, 3 and 4, surely at the commandment of the Lord came this upon Judah to remove them out of his sight. For the sins of Manasseh, that's one of the tribes of Israel, if you don't know, according to all that he did, and also for the innocent blood that he shed, for he filled Jerusalem with innocent blood, and he brought condemnation on Jerusalem. And, well, who's going to condemn us, says the Roman Catholic federal international government. God's going to kill you people, okay? And don't say you weren't warned. There is a prophet in the land that's prophesying that God's going to remove you like a cottage. All right, now, we have some letters. Let me hear, where's the first one from?
From Zambia, Africa.
Yeah.
Dear Pastor Lamo, greetings in the wonderful name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I thank God so much for the great testimonies and miracles which He is doing in your ministry worldwide. Many people have had encounters with the Lord through your inspired gospel literature. May God richly bless you. I have now been 6 months in the village of Chief Magodi, where I am preaching and witnessing the good news of Jesus Christ and establishing preaching points. These points are where the people gather to listen to the Word of God. I was very amazed one morning when a famous witch doctor surrendered himself to God and his entire family. This has been one of the greatest moments in my outreach programs. Pastor,
yeah, now why would people want to kill somebody that's winning witch doctors and murderers and people that are rapists and child molesters? I think that these child molesters, that the Vatican has transported them to Rome and Argentina and places like that, they're still, that evil spirit hasn't left them because they don't preach salvation. You know, when before I was saved, several years before that, I was working at a woodworking factory. I was I was working on a glue table where they make dining room tables and kitchen tables and things like that. And what they did is put a bunch of 2x4s together and they glue them, and then they put them they press them together with the long, I forget what they call the things. This has been years ago before I was even 21 years old. And then after the glue dries, they sand them. They put them through these big belt sanders and sand them down. And then they cut them. They curve the edges off and make them oval-shaped or square-shaped. And then they put the formica top on them and then a steel band around them. Well, I went over on the 4th of July because I had a day off to go to my friend's house, the San Antonio's, on their Italian family, over on La Mirada Avenue in Hollywood. And I went over there and I heard them popping off firecrackers, I thought, in the backyard. And so I knocked on the door, nobody answered, so I went around the back and it was these little kids. Two of Ada and Fred San Antonio's young little kids and another guy, a kid back there. And one of them had their hand behind their back and I said, "Where's Ada and Fred?" They said they went on a picnic. And so I said, "Well, what do you got behind your back?" And he says, "Nothing." I said, "Come on, let me see it. I'm your friend." And he pulled it out, and it was a .45 gun. And so I said, "Where'd you get that?" And they said, "We stole it from the detective's house down at the corner." Well, I didn't want my friends killed. I didn't want to turn them in. I didn't know what to do. I was only 19 or 20 years old. And I'd been to reform school when I was a kid for something I didn't do, and I certainly didn't want to, and I didn't know what to do with the gun. So when I went home for lunch, I put it in the drawer until I decided what to do. I didn't want to take it to the police department. I wanted to take it to the police department. And I wanted to take it to the policeman's house on the corner, but then my friend's kids would have went to jail, and I didn't want that to happen because I just didn't know what to do. And so when I came back from work the next day, there were police at the door, plainclothesmen. They said, "You have a .45 hand pistol?" And I says, "Yes, sir. It's in here." "So where'd you get it?" I knew that they had told him. So I said, "I got it from Alfred and Fred San Antonio's sons." So I gave it to him, and they arrested me and prosecuted me for receiving stolen property and for running a young kids that steal things to bring stuff to me so I could sell it. And there wasn't anything further from the truth. And so I spent 3 months. They said I didn't have any big money to pay for an attorney. I didn't have, and this is happening to millions of people in the United States. And I didn't have any know-how of, I didn't know any attorneys. I didn't have any money either. So they said, "Oh, okay, if you wait for this to go to trial, yeah, you're going to spend 5 years in jail because you don't have any money to bail out. But if you'll say you're guilty or no contest, what we'll do is they'll just give you 3 months or 6 months, I forget what it was, in jail." So I said, "Well, okay." And I was waiting for Aiden and Fred to come to tell me that I, or for these boys to come and say I didn't have anything to do with it. But they didn't. And so that kind of made me bitter. But when I was in jail, they took me to the Hollywood jail, and I was in there, and I was laying on a couch. I woke up, and all of a sudden I felt my brain flip around, and I felt a new spirit come into me. I was married at the time, and I was living at the house where my wife's and her mother lived, because the money that I wasn't making wasn't enough, but it helped them out with their house payments. And so I got, at least I got my eyes operated there in the county hospital. But the thing that I'm saying is that this is very scriptural, because I remember in the Bible, do you have that? Where there was a man named Saul, and the Lord, Samuel told him that he was going to have a new heart given unto him. That he'd be a new man. So when that happened to me, I felt patience come down upon me as never before, and I was a new person. I wasn't born again of the Spirit, but I was a new person. I mean, I couldn't even remember the type of person I was. And then that happened again when the Lord gave me the vision of Susie. Because I didn't feel adequate enough to be her husband, because she was so intelligent and so godly. And then when I saw that vision of her and I being married, and I pushed myself up and I saw it while I was sleeping, and I saw it actually when my eyes were wide open, and I felt the Lord wake my heart up and pour love in there. And I wasn't the same anymore after that. So the Lord gave me, I felt that, like John the Baptist, when the Spirit entered him, the baptism of the Holy Spirit filled him with the spirit of Elijah in his mother's womb, that the same thing happened to me when I went into the jail on that false charge. And I know that that was the spirit of Enoch. Okay, so I'm a one, and there's been many mentions that I am the one of the two witnesses. So anyway, time will tell, right? Mm-hmm. I never really press on that much, because it's kind of hard for people to swallow. But to me, being a new person is something else, you know, whether it's the spirit of Enoch, I don't care that much about that. I just care about I've got the spirit of Christ in me.
Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
He's given me a new spirit. And so when I was in the office and I received that revelation that it was God making me do something in that business meeting that I never, ever would have done without the moving of the Holy Spirit. Right in front of all these people, I told them that Christ was coming back to earth. Get up on your feet and tell these people in this room about Jesus, the Lord told me, and so I did. And that he's coming back to earth again. But the whole, that's just a short synopsis of what happened in that office. You can get a copy of my literature entitled Dry Bones, and it tells about that and the signs of the time. And I mentioned on many of my broadcasts how I was saved. I've had a very supernatural conversion, and I'm not puffed up at all. I wouldn't care if I was had the spirit of Enoch in me or not. I'm going to walk with God. I'm going to serve God. So just read the part where he gave him a new spirit, and he became another man, a whole another person.
Samuel is talking to Saul. He says, "And the Spirit of the Lord will come upon thee, and thou shalt prophesy with them, and shalt be turned into another man."
Mm-hmm. That's what happened to John the Baptist in his mother's womb. And that's what happened to me, because I had been persecuted and prosecuted falsely all my life. And so the Lord knew, because I really loved my wife. And because I went to jail, she left me. And so that it wasn't really a wife at all. Because if a woman will leave you when you're in prison or jail, she's not a wife. A wife is somebody that's one with you. If you're in jail, she's there with you. But again, I say that people don't take marriage seriously these days. And so God, in that cell, knew that it was because I was sincere about the marriage. And she wasn't, and so she didn't want to be married to a jailbird. So anyway, that happened to me, and it gave me the power to go through the jail with ease, because the Lord gave me a new mind and a new spirit. A spirit had got in me, but I wasn't saved any more than Saul was there, because a saved soul will not break God's commandments. They are the body of Christ. And so when the Spirit came down upon me, I did what the Lord said. Now, the Lord tells people to do a lot of things. He told Isaiah to do something that he'd be thrown in prison for today. But God told Hosea to marry a couple of prostitutes. So that was to be symbolized Judah and where else?
Israel
and Judah, yes. And so that's something that people wouldn't do today, even if God told them to. So they would break their covenant with the Lord and disobey him. And then the Lord tells some people to have all sorts of different things. But if he doesn't tell you to do it, you better not do it, because then you're doing things with your own will. Okay, and then what does it say? The last the verse there, the one that tells that he began, after he became a new person, he started prophesying. Amen? And then what?
Verse 9 says, "And it was so that when he had turned his back to go from Samuel, God gave him another heart, and all those signs came to pass that day."
Yeah, so the Lord gave him another heart. And after I was saved, the Lord gave me another heart. The Lord gave me some power to go through that horrible thing where my wife left me. It was her mother that made her, said, "Now he's no good. He was a leader." She believed the stinking Antichrist. And if she believed them over me, when I was just for sure innocent, then she wasn't worth having. I'm glad I found her out at age 20. Amen?
Amen.
I found her out. She saved me a life. That'd be something to be married to some prostitute like that and her not care about the seriousness of marriage. And then after you live with her and you're in your 50s, 60s, or 70s, then have her become a double-cross you at that time. So the Lord gave me the power to go through that. And then later on, he gave me the power to be the husband of Susie. And then it was Susie and others, many others, including myself, that we were told that we were the two witnesses. And so you can believe it or not, it doesn't make any difference to me. That won't save your soul. You can disbelieve that about me. It doesn't matter because I don't care. I wouldn't care at all. I was just happy to be saved and to take the least place in the kingdom of heaven. Okay, well, we have, nevertheless, this is what the Lord told us. And therefore, that's the way it really is. And so be careful, because when I pray, the Bible says that the two witnesses, I have the power to call upon him and kill whoever's trying to kill them. Amen?
Amen.
And that he can close heaven and so that it doesn't rain, and then I can call upon the Lord and make it rain. And this has happened on several occasions.
Amen.
Okay, so I am endorsed, dear heart. Okay? Amen. Now let's read some of these letters here, because we're getting close to the end of the program. Didn't realize that the Lord was going to go in this direction, but nevertheless he did. Mm-hmm. Okay, then what?
Pastor, the people have really been longing to see more of your Alamo Christian ministry in the area, because you have unveiled so much truth in your literature. Therefore, I am asking for many more newsletters, literature, Messiah books, and 20 Bibles to give to the people who have requested them. I will soon send some photos in which we capture the outreach programs as we distribute the literature. I will be very grateful to hear from you and how the ministry is doing. Yours faithfully, Pastor P. Noma from Lundazi, Zambia, Africa.
Okay, the reason, or another thing I forgot to say was that they told me after 5 years in jail waiting to go to trial because the dockets are so full, if you lose the case, you're liable to go to prison for another 5 or 10 years. So naturally, when they use that kind of strategy against you, and they say you could be out in 3 months, oh, you really think they're doing you a favor, you know, especially when you're a kid, 19, 20 years old. Wouldn't you think that was a favor?
Yes.
They all said yes. Yepis. Yepis. Yeah, well, I did too. Okay, let's read another letter. You got another letter there?
Yes.
Where's that one from?
From Anaparthi, India.
Okay.
Dear beloved Tony Alamo, World Pastor, greetings in the holy name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Praise be to the Lord, the Almighty Father, who has used the Tony Alamo Christian Ministries at Anaparthi to be a channel of blessings. We are an evangelical church planting mission with a vision of winning souls for the Lord. Soul winning and soul keeping is the center of our work, and Christ is our goal. We win souls for Christ by visiting homes and by holding small crusades in villages. We have been distributing your precious spiritual literature, Dry Bones, The Messiah According to Bible Prophecy, and other world newsletters in schools, colleges, marketplaces, bus complexes, railway stations, hospitals, local churches, and the remote villages prayerfully. As a result, many have given their lives to Christ after reading your literature. It is the greatest and most wonderful miracle in India. We stay in constant touch with those who have received the Lord, and we encourage them through prayers and fellowship. Thanks a lot for sending all the spiritual literature which you have written with the power and wisdom of God by the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Yes, my humble world pastor, I am asking you to pray for my family, church, and myself, so that for the rest of our lives on this earth we may glorify the name of the Lord and give ourselves entirely to Him and submit our selfish lives completely to Him every day. My prayer requests are to pray because my church building is too old and was damaged by the cyclone, and it is affecting us always, and also Satan and his followers have been fighting against my church. There is a terrible and dreadful hindrance to spreading the gospel in my area in lack of support and financial aid. We are poor and unable to purchase food, clothing, medicines, and daily needs. Please understand my many needs and think of me in your prayers. May God bless you abundantly, your assistant minister, Pastor K. Bathula from Anaparthi, India.
Praise the Lord. All right, now, we have so many different things to talk about that we really haven't the time. I guess we've got about 2 minutes, but talking about the blood of Jesus, It says that the blood which the Lord would not pardon. So everyone that commits murder, and the Bible says if you hate somebody, yea, they sacrifice their sons and their daughters unto devils. And that's what you people are doing that are having abortions. You're believing demonic, devilish doctrine that it's okay, that that's the fruit of your body. You can kill. Just because your God has given you the ability to have a child doesn't mean that he's given you the ability to shed their blood, to murder them. And so you have to think about that. And so God is not going to pardon you at all unless you ask Christ to come in. But if you do it again, it's unpardonable. All right, well, this is the part, no matter if you have committed any sin whatsoever, it doesn't matter. The Lord will forgive you if you'll just call upon him. It's the end time. There's no time left. If you got saved now, he gives you just enough time maybe to learn a little bit of Bible before he comes to show him that you have interest in what his directions are for you. So you can start out by coming to him for your salvation and for a new spirit and for him to live in your spirit. So if that's what you want, it's up to you. Say this prayer to him and he will honor it. Say, "My Lord and my God, have mercy upon my soul, a sinner. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, your Son, Father, and that he died on the cross and shed his precious human blood for the forgiveness of all my former filthy sins, especially the filthy sins of not receiving you yet. I believe that you, Father God, rose him from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. I open the door of my heart, and I invite you into my heart, Lord Jesus. Wash all my filthy former sins away in the precious blood that you shed for me. You will not turn me away, Lord Jesus. Your word is better than gold. Yeah, all that call upon you shall be saved. Therefore, I know you have heard me, and I know that you have answered me, and I know that I am saved. And I thank you, Lord Jesus, for saving my soul. Now raise your hands and praise and thank the Lord. And share them. Tell them how they can receive a copy, a CD or an audio tape of program number 472.
Go to alamoministries.com or write to Tony Alamo Christian Ministries, P.O. Box 6467, Texarkana, Texas 75505, or call area code 479-782-7370. That's 479-782-7370, or fax to area code 479-782-7406.
Praise the Lord. This is World Pastor Tony Alamo saying tune in tomorrow for another powerful, life-giving message from the Word of God. And I've been through many valleys in my life, and the Lord tells us that we have to continue until the end if we want to become to continue being his body, if we want to continue wanting to be in the kingdom of heaven. Don't throw in the towel, in other words. And here's Jack Holcomb to sing for you. It might just be one more valley. Don't sweat it. Just keep going.
When I'm tossed on life's sea and the waves cover me and the dark clouds won't let the sun shine through, then a voice seems to say, "Child, there'll be a brighter day. Don't allow the storm to hide sweet heaven's view. 'Cause you've got one more valley, one more hill. Maybe one more trial, one more tear. see your tears. Learn to smile through your fears. Hold your head up high and give the world a smile. You must be faithful all the way. 'Twill be worth it all someday. For it's all gonna be over after a while. 'Cause you've got one more valley, one more hill. Maybe one more trial, one more tear, one more curve in life's road. Maybe one more. You can lay down.